Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
Another wonderful Sunday, huh? It's March 1st, and guess what? 20 days till the first day of spring. I want everybody to remember that next Sunday, we spring forward, so don't forget to turn your clocks forward, because I hate to see all you walk in at the end of my message next week. So please turn your clocks forward. I'm excited for today. I'm excited about seeing all these new faces here today. Our sermon today is going to be on identity and name. And I think it's important that people know our name. So let's take this time to greet one another and tell them your name, introduce yourself, especially to the new people today. So why don't we just go ahead and do that. Now, does everybody know one another now? I mean, is that done? Okay, good, good. Identity. Seems to me identity is something we all search for. A name, because sometimes a name, or many times, a name defines the person. And how important is a name? Well, a name's pretty important. I can start off a name. I'm sure you can finish. So let me give you some first names, and you give me some last names. Okay? Let's start with cartoons. Mickey. Oh, that's right. Come on, you can respond. We're not shy here. Let's talk about baseball. Babe. Right. Let's talk about golf. Tiger. Okay. Let's talk about some bad people. War. Adolf. You all have associated a name with not just a character, but with a personality. Because a name identifies us, and most particularly can identify our character. You know, one time a name was very, very important. I think Jerry and I remember that you used to do a hand contract with a handshake and by knowing somebody's name because you knew their character. But you know, the world puts names and different tags on us, isn't that right? The world itself does that. How many remember the awkwardness of high school? Okay. Did you have names? Come on. All of you have names. Did you have names that you liked? Yeah. Did you have names that you hated? Some people love to put names on you. Names that are not very nice names. I've shared this with the youth group. So, Josh, you're going to hear this again. And if Karen's here, she's going to hear this again. But I want to tell you a little bit about my life. Because my life growing up in high school was a life of names and a life of tags. I got tags from individuals because here I was, 6'4", like I am now, and 145 pounds. Now, that's thin. People say all I had to do was turn sideways and stick out my tongue and I looked like a zipper. That's thin. And I had this posture and this hooked nose, which is, you know, my best character. But I would walk around like this. And since my name was Merle, they would call me Myrtle the Turtle. I hated that. Myrtle the Turtle. So I got tags from individuals, and I thought, well, I'm going to get out of this tag. I'm going to do something like join the band. I joined the band. I had a uniform. I was somebody. I had identity, you know? I had identity. Until you talk to the jocks and they would point at us guys in the band. They say, Myrtle the Turtle, band pansy. signify I was weak, you know, because I was in the band not playing sports. Well, 145 pounds, you can get killed out there in a football field. So here it was, Myrtle the Turtle, band Pansy. And then you get defined within the group that you were in. I'm in the band, I can't wait, I'm a drummer. Give me a snare drum, I want to beat away. But since I was a freshman, what do you think I had to play? Worse. Cymbals! Bang, 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 bang. So help me here. Myrtle the Turtle, band Pansy, cymbal player. Tags by individuals, tags towards a group, tags within the group, sometimes parental tags. My mom was afraid of me being hurt, so she would always say, "Don't try anything, you'll embarrass me." You ever get that? Ever hear that? "Don't do that, you will embarrass me." Then my dad, he would take me fishing. Of course, I'm the one that has all the ball of string everywhere, and he wants a fish. And meanwhile, I'm just doing this, and he's trying to help me. And I get from him, "Can't do anything right. Can't do anything right." So here I was, Myrtle the Turtle, band Pansy, cymbal player, can't do anything right. How many here have had a smarter brother or sister? Especially an older one. Huh? You have it? Have it? I hated that. Because I'd go to class and I'd say, "Oh, Merle McGee, are you Ron McGee's brother?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, we expect a lot from you." And I said, "Yeah." And what tag did I get when I didn't perform to his level? Not like his brother. Not like his brother. Talk about tags. Myrtle the Turtle. Band Pansy. Not like his brother. But you know something? I showed them. I figured if they were going to call me all those names, if I was going to look stupid in front of everybody, I knew what I was going to become in high school. Do you know what that was? The class clown! You looked. You read my sermon. Because they can't hurt me there. I give them what they expected. I morphed into exactly what they thought of me. I found solitude in that. I found security in that. Because I could be the class clown. Now, don't get me wrong. I still have a little bit of that show in me. But I let people define me. That is, until I started walking with God. And found out what He had for my life. And saw Him walk me through so many things. Whether it was school to get my associate degree or bachelor's degree or master's degree. He walked me through all those things. And he said, "Don't take the definitions or identity that other people give you. Take what I made you to be. Take the way I define you, not how they define you. You don't have to belittle yourself because I think you're a pretty neat guy. God can talk to us like that. He said that to me. I think you're a pretty neat guy." I'm like, "Okay. Okay, I can live that. I can live that." Pretty long story to get into the sermon. But I'm going to talk to you about another individual that was defined by the world and then ended up changing the world. And that's the story of Jabez. I'm sure all of you have heard about Bruce Wilkinson's book about the prayer of Jabez and having his borders extended. But this is going to be a little bit different. It's going to have a different twist on who Jabez was. So I called this sermon the story of Jabez or what's in a name. What's in a name? So with that, let's all go to First Chronicles We'll start with chapter 4 and read verses 9 and 10. Bibles are there in the pew if you want to take a peek at them. Wipe the dust off of them and shake them off and grab them in the pew if you have one. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10, and then we're going to read 1 Chronicles 2, verse 55. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Then go to chapter 2, 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. In the clans or families of scribes who lived at Jabez, the Tirathites, the Shimeathites, the Sukathites, these are Kenites who came from Hamath, the father of the house of Rechab. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for such a beautiful morning. We thank you for your light, both the light of the sun and your light upon us. Lord, I ask that we see your presence today, that there will be a special anointing of your Spirit among all of us, that we will study the words about Jabez and we will apply that to our lives. Lord, I just, as your humble servant, Lord, I just ask that you use me, that you speak through me your words, not my words. That people will be touched by who you are, not who I am. And that we're able to redefine ourselves according to what you say about us and not what the world says about us. So we lift these prayers up to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's talk a little bit about 1 Chronicles. I mean, I call this the sleeping book because the first nine chapters are all about the genealogy, coming back all the way, starting with Adam and ending with David. It's really a record of God's hands and all his people since the beginning of time. I call it the begetting book. So those with the King James Version will see that people beget people, beget people, beget people. But in there are certain treasures. And one of the treasures is a story of Jabez. The story of Jabez. Something's very different about these two verses. Again, you're talking about begetting, begetting, begetting. So-and-so was born to so-and-so, so-and-so was born to so-and-so. Then out of nowhere, we read about the name Jabez. And we see a man with a unique name that's not very flattering. Not indeed. But also a name that has been written about by many writers, including Bruce Wilkinson. How important is a name? We know the importance now. I've just walked through that because sometimes we get defined by a name. But it was no different in the biblical times. Usually a name did display a character. The definition of Solomon was peace. Joseph named his children Manasseh, which means one who caused me to forget. And also Ephraim, God has made me fruitful. Joseph basically that named his children how God had treated him. God made him forget of all the bad times and brought him to wealth and fame within Egypt. And so, again, Manasseh was named because of God helping Joseph to forget and live life to its fullest. So Manasseh, again, means one who caused me to forget. And also, Joseph was put into power, second in command of Pharaoh, and gave his other son, Ephraim, the name, God has made me fruitful. So names were important to Israel and they're critical to the study in the Old Testament. Name Benjamin means son of honor or good fortune. And Jacob means the grabber. Why is that? Because he took the birthright of Esau. Because when they were coming out of the birth canal, he grabbed Esau, pulled him back, and tried to be the firstborn. Later, his name was made Israel. So God did change his name. And what does Israel mean? He fights and persists with God. Maybe we all should be called Israel. But what was the plight of Jabez? I mean, what was the plight of Jabez? What name does the scripture call him? He could have had any other name, and his mother called him Jabez, which is translated, because I bore him in pain or sorrow. Doesn't say why. Doesn't say maybe it was a pain of childbirth. It doesn't say maybe it was a pain of being a single mother. It doesn't say maybe it was a pain of finances or taking care of this child. Maybe this child came from an adulterous affair. It doesn't say that. All it said is that this woman gave birth to this child and called him the one who bore my pain or bore me pain. Isn't that something? So that was his plight, to carry that name. How would you like to have a name like that? You know, being a pain maker. Can you see the kids taunting him? Here comes pain and sorrow. Better move away. Oh, here comes Mr. Grief. Here comes a kid that even his mother doesn't love him because he's a pain to her. Sort of like Johnny Cash's song, A Boy Named Sue. He had to carry this name with him. Can you imagine that? Carrying this name with him. I'm sure he had a lot of fights. Wouldn't you have a fight if someone says, here comes Mr. Pain and Sorrow? He probably said, I'll show you pain and sorrow. He may have lived that. I don't believe it, though. But he could have. We live names sometimes, don't we? Names people give us. We live those names, don't we? I'm sure he had to defend himself. He also always had to question that, if I defend myself, will I become that name? And do I want to become that name? If I defend myself, I hurt somebody and bear them pain and myself pain. Do I want to be that individual? So his name may have caused persecution. But we know that his name caused something else. His new name was part of that beginning of verse 9. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Somehow something changed in his character, that he was an honorable man. Evidently he fought the good fight and he didn't take that name upon himself. Because what does this verse says again? He's not just honorable. He's what? More honorable. And we're not talking about his fleshly brothers and sisters. We're talking about what? All the brothers in the nation of Israel. Somehow he redefined himself. Somehow he looked inside. He said, I'm not going to become that name. I'm going to become somebody else. Maybe he was honorable being sensitive to others. Maybe he was honorable watching what he says. Maybe he was honorable by doing good instead of evil. What we did know in item 3 is that he did not want to cause pain. He did not want to cause pain. And how do we know it? Because of his prayer. What does his prayer say? that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. He knew the outcome of evil was pain. He knew that doing things outside of God's law hurt people. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. My generation, please, folks, you younger folks, forgive my generation. The let's do it generation, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. You know, that was great in the 60s until later on we found out everything that we did that was outside the law of God hurt people. It hurt moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. It hurt brothers and sisters. He didn't want to sin. He did not want to have the sin of abandonment. He didn't want to have the sin of adultery. He did not want to have the sin of theft, sin of murder, etc., etc., because he knew that hurt people. What a wonderful prayer that he said, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Because he knew evil caused pain. He didn't want to live up to his name. He wanted to create a new name. He didn't want to do evil. He prayed to the Lord, please don't let me do evil. Because I know not only will it hurt those around me, it will hurt me too. And the last thing I want is someone to say, yeah, he's exactly like his mom told him he was. I always say, do you know what? Ginger says, don't keep saying that. But do you know what? But because of his actions, he was redefined in the world. And God redefined him. He redefined him how? Just that little verse, 1 Chronicles 2:55, you say, there was a small clan of scribes in the city of Jabez. They named the city after him. Do you think somebody would call their city, he who bore me pain? Do you think somebody would call him that? They called the city Jabez because of the new character of Jabez. This upstanding, honorable man that would go after God and do things right and that would pray in his heart and pray in his mind, please don't let evil get me because I don't want to cause pain. Now, the other phrase I ask is, does this make sense? It does to me. It does to me. God knew who he was all along. And God was there to make it happen because of verse, the last verse of 2:10, the last line says, the good news is that, that's not the verse, but God granted Jabez what he requested. The prayer of Jabez, it's wonderful. Bruce Wilkinson, it's wonderful. But it talks about enlarging our borders, which was good because his border was extended and enlarged. But I think the more important thing was his prayer not to do evil, to cause pain to anybody. And in that, he got honor. In that, he became more honorable than any other man. He was a good man, and he was a man of character. How do we apply this? I mean, how do we apply this? Two little verses in the Bible, three counting the one about the city of Jabez. How do we apply it? Don't let the world define you. Don't let the world define you. When it comes to you, don't take it in. How many kids do we destroy each year by calling them stupid, unmotivated, underachievers, versus building them up? Don't let names define us, even in church. when people call us religious, the right religious, the fundamentalists. There's so many of us that's afraid of that term, but we're fundamentalists. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe he died for our sins. You know, we believe he was resurrected. We believe that he gave us eternal life. I'm not ashamed to say I have fundamental beliefs of who Christ is. But the world will. The world will criticize you. Don't let them do that. Don't let them do that. Number two, let yourself be defined by God. Let yourself be defined by God. Take the new name that he gives you. Psalm 139:14. Because you are what? Awesomely and wonderfully made. That's what he thinks about us. Why can't we take that in? Say, okay, I'll take that. You are righteous in his sight. 1 Corinthians 5:21. Get that. 1 Corinthians 5:21. You are an heir to the kingdom of God. Romans 8:7. And he can change your name to a name of honor. Something that we certainly don't understand, but something that we know that the price was paid on the cross, right? The price was paid on the cross. If he can forgive us, it's time that we forgive ourselves. If he can change our name, it's time that we take that name. Number three, operate and act in the new you. We can't wear the old name anymore. It doesn't fit once we have a life with Christ. The old name doesn't fit. So don't put on those old clothes. Because you know they don't fit. You're a new creature in Christ. The old clothes don't fit. I love the Clint Eastwood movie. I've shared that with you before. The movie Unforgiven. Clint Eastwood was a no good individual. And he changed his life because of a woman. Because of a woman's love. And he would always say, I'm not like that no more. When everybody said, you used to do this, you used to do that. He would say, I'm not like that no more. Well, that's the attitude we need to take. We're not like high schoolers anymore. God has changed our lives. And I think, like Jabez, I think there's blessings for that. There's blessings in that for all of us. I think there's blessings if we operate in the Father's will. Bob Housel, good friend and band. I think Sarah would like this. Of course, because thank goodness I wasn't alone. There were two cymbal players. Bob would be on one side of the marching line, and I would be on the other. He'd be right over there. I would see him all the time. And I said, oh, Bob, you know, here we are playing the cymbals again. He looks at me. He said, but isn't that great? I said, great, Bob. We're just going. He said, no. He said, Merle, if we're going to be cymbal players, we're going to be the best cymbal players that we can. I said, what are you talking about, Bob? What is this? You know. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He said, have you ever seen Penn State's cymbal players? I said, no. He said, they are artistes. He said, let me show you. And began to crash the cymbals and twirl them. Crash the cymbals and twirl them. One hand, two hands. I mean, one hand, left hand, two hands. Okay. I said, that's pretty cool, Bob. He said, well, are we going to do it? I said, well, teach me. He said, okay. I never had so much fun playing the cymbals than any other instrument. Because here we are. We're twirling. And we're unison. I can see Bob. You know, right cymbal, left cymbal, both cymbals. And then... You know, doing this, I think it was Battle Hymn of the Republic or something, but there's a wonderful pause and a cymbal crash. So we're out in the field and We're smiling at each other, and we're ready for the symbol crest. And we're both ready. And this is what we did. We went in unison, twirl, 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 down. Yay, right? Why couldn't I operate as a cymbal player, as the best cymbal player that I could be? Why couldn't I do that? Why did I have to be defined by somebody who thinks I'm a monkey doing like that? Okay? So how do we become the cymbal players of life? That's new, you know. How do you become the cymbal players of life? Well, we would look at Penn State play the cymbals. But if we want to be the cymbal players of life, and we want to change our lives and change others' lives, we need a pattern. And the pattern is who Christ is and who God is in the Bible. So how do we get it? How do we change our lives? By studying the real thing, by studying God's Word, by having fellowship, by the indwelling Holy Spirit changing us in the inside, by changing our nature so now we're givers of love and hope and not takers. Not takers. Number four, if God's changing our name, we need to be a Christian community that can change other people's names. We need to be name givers. We need to assess everybody as a 10, not a 1, with 10 being the highest, by the way. We need to reassess people. We need to tell them we love them. We need to tell them that God has a plan for their lives because that's the truth. I know because He had a plan for my life. And it wasn't to be Myrtle the Turtle, band pansy, cymbal player, doesn't do anything right, not like his brother. He wanted Merle McGee to be who God made him to be and be right here today. So let's be name givers. Let's lift people up. Let's look at the good things in people and build them up. Let's defend them when others are calling them names. Let's defend them. And remember that we were just like them before Christ came into our lives. Remember that. And as God defines us, allow us to define others, to build them up and make them renewed. But here's the rest of the story. And this is what I really love. I love the scripture because it just, the rest of the story is so great. Because listen to this. This is from Matthew Henry says, "In Jabez, the city were the families of scribes, such as kept up learning in their family, especially scripture learning, and taught the people the good knowledge of God. Among all these great families, we are glad to find some that were families of scribes. It was rumored that Jabez, the man, was a great doctor of the law." And what does that tell me? His prayer was to extend his boundaries. We think of that in the realm of property or wealth. God thinks it differently because he extended his boundaries through God's word. He taught the scribes. I don't know whether you know much about scribes, but scribes would be copyists. They would copy the Bible word for word. He taught them to read and study. And then he created families. And Jabez was noted for a place where the scribes went to get taught by the man Jabez and to change the world and extend their borders for God. That's extending borders. It's not about money. It's not about property. It's about redefining the people around us. It's about being redefined by God personally and changing the whole world. I think it's time that we all remember that we need to let God redefine us. Let him redefine you as righteous, an heir, God's child, and awesome. Take that. Don't be ashamed of it. Take it. You know, Jabez conquered labels, and we need to do that too. He certainly has changed my name, and he can change your name. The question is, what will people say about you when you're gone? What will they say about you when you're gone? Are they going to say that you brought pain and sorrow to others and to yourself? Or that you were more honorable than anybody else and that they named a city after you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your nuggets in your scripture, looking at ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Each and every day, Lord, we ask that you work in us to redefine us, to make us more in the image of you so that we can reach and influence the lost. Lord, we ask that you will work in us to give people good tags, not bad tags. That you will work with us to even not put tags on ourselves, except those tags that you give us. We ask, Lord, that you will extend our borders, Lord. We do pray the same prayer. And Lord, we ask with all of our hearts and soul that you will keep us from evil, that we will not cause pain to ourselves and to others. Thank you, dear Lord, for Christ on the cross who saved us, who gave us salvation, who shed his blood for us, who made atonement for all the sins, that gave us an opportunity to have a new name in him, to be a new person in him. I want everybody just to please close your eyes, bow your heads, and I'm going to ask a question. A question I always ask, and that is there anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Is there anybody here that's ready to be redefined by him and to get it, come into the kingdom? Is there anybody here that wants to throw off the old tags and put on the new tags? It's a simple prayer. Those of you that don't know Jesus, here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I accept you as my personal Savior for now and forever. It's a simple prayer. If there's anybody here that has never said that prayer, now's the time. Dear Lord, I repent of my sins. I want to run to you. I need you to redefine me. I know that you are my Savior. You died on the cross for me. If there's anybody here that has said that prayer for the first time, I'd like to know so I can pray for you. So with every head bowed and eye closed, if there's any of you that have accepted Christ today, just signify by raising your hand and putting it back down. Thank you. Just raise your hand and put it back down. Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we're excited as a church. We're excited, Lord, that you will use us to extend your boundaries, not ours. And we continue, Lord, each and every day, ask for you to work in us as people of God, and that you will also help us to change names of this community for your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and our Lord and Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Enjoy me.